Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, January 28th, 2022, 1-28-22, last Friday in the month of January. Next Friday, it's supposed to be certainly semi-warm compared to what it has been. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. Do want to remind everybody quickly that the Richland Road Church of Christ at 535 Richland Road having their big food giveaway tomorrow morning, January the 29th. Parking lot opens up at 8 a.m. and the food giveaway is at 9 a.m. The church gives away a couple hundred full grocery carts of food. So get ready for that tomorrow morning, 535 Richland Road, the Richland Road Church of Christ. Parking lot opens at 8 and the food giveaway is at 9 a.m. Angie Evers in studio with me on this Friday night. And I do want to say off the top, I said it earlier in the week, but after I made my little announcement this week, which that's what I'm going to refer to it from now on, my little announcement, I got a lot of nice emails and a lot of people have said nice stuff to me, and I really do appreciate that. But before I went on the air tonight, I got an email from a long-time listener, Linda, who used to listen to me even back in the WMRN days, which has been quite a while ago now, and she says she listens every morning, even takes me to the, I think she said lakes with a tune-in app. So, and she just wished me the best and, you know, said she was praying for me. And I'll tell you, this is kind of leads into the first topic tonight that I want to talk about. You know, when people are on social media and they say prayers to you, you see that a lot now, prayers to you. I'm not against that when people do that, but I'm not sure that people are actually praying when they say that. Like Linda, I believe she means it. And I believe she actually is praying, and I like that. And anything you send to the Lord on my behalf, I appreciate about anything. But I'm not sure if people always are. I think that comes off a little insincere at times, and I told the story earlier on in the week, and I'll tell it again because I do think it's funny. One of the three people who I had told about this called me, and they said, well, I'm not telling anybody, but I was talking to somebody, and to be honest with you, I don't know if they told this third party that I was having an issue or not. I don't know what happened. But in any event, it came up. I don't know if they said, I know somebody, or I don't know. But basically it was, do you want me to put his name on the prayer chain, was the question. And the person who knew that I was having this issue said, no, don't do that. He doesn't want that. And that's when I knew I had to come on and say something about it, because it's not because I didn't want to be on the prayer chain, which is what it sounded like, which is what made me laugh. It was because I hadn't told anybody. And if people saw my name out there and it got out before I was able to say it, people might be upset that I didn't tell them first. And I do think of you like family here on the radio. So I guess there's a lot of prayer there. So what do you make of prayers to you on the internet?
Well, I think if you're going to take the time to type it, you should just pray when you type it. Right then and there, because if you don't do it, then you're probably not going to do it.
Well, that's right. Do you think people do it? I think certain people probably do, and that's very good, and continue on. But I don't know. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when somebody leaves your house and they say, if you need anything, call me. And if you know, this is not somebody you would call if you were having a problem. And you know if you did call them, they would come up with every excuse in the world not to do it. It's funny because you can call certain people and ask them to do things, and they'll have excuses as to why they can't do it. But yet, when they leave your house, they'll go, "If you need anything, call me."
Yeah.
And I think, well, you're not there when I normally ask you to do something. Why would you be there all of a sudden?
Yeah, I don't know. I think people just try to be nice, but I feel if you're going to take the time to say that you're praying for somebody, you probably should. Because I guess that's back on you. You know, I would feel guilty if I, you know, said I was praying for somebody and then I didn't. I would feel bad.
But have you ever seen these people who say, if you need anything, call me?
Yeah.
Now, do you really think that's true?
Well, I don't know.
How many people in life really can you call at any turn? I think the list is very small.
I mean, I told my friend that just had surgery, if she needs anything, to call me. And I hope she would if she did need something, because I would be there.
Right, but I think most people say it just as kind of a conversation ender.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I tell my people that I talk to every day on the phone, if you need anything, call me, and we'll, you know.
Well, work people. Right.
But
I'm talking friends. Like, if you're at a party, and you leave, and you turn to the people who threw the party, and you say, if you need anything, call me. I don't know if that's all that sincere. Go ahead, caller.
Don't you realize how many hypocrites we have in this town?
Well, I do when I hear those sayings, unfortunately.
Well, when I say that, I truly mean it. And when I say that I pray for you, I really, truly do. And I know that you're going to be all right.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And when people say that, I appreciate it. And don't think that I don't. And like I say, I have no doubt that Linda, who sent me the letter, will do it. I just, it just sprung that memory in my mind of when people say prayers to you on the internet. I see that a lot.
And right, especially like when somebody dies.
Oh yeah, when somebody dies. Yeah, you see that a lot. And then they don't even come over. They don't even visit.
Well, maybe, I mean, you're not close with them.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying. If you aren't close with somebody, are you praying for them?
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But no, it's very nice. And that's the irony of it, is that, anybody who wants to do it, I certainly would not stop you. And I think it is a very sincere act and a very nice act. And I do take that, that's important when people say that. So, you know, I do think, I haven't felt insincere. I'm not saying that. Nobody has said it to me that I have felt insincere. But I've seen it in other people's directions, and I go, well, are they really?
Well, I mean, you would never know if they do or not. That's something that...
Right, but if somebody says they're doing it, I want them doing it.
Well, I hope they are. I mean, that's why I think when you type it, oh, I'm praying for you, then if you're taking the time to type it, you just need to pray for them at that moment. Because I think if you don't, I'll pray for them tonight when I go to bed, then you won't remember.
Well, I think that social media has made us all nuts, in a way. That's the problem. And I think people say a lot of stuff on social media that they don't really mean. They just, because it's in front of everybody. It's like getting up in front of a group and saying it. So I think that's why they say it. But I don't know if they mean it or not.
Well, what about like when people tell you happy birthday?
Yeah, that's another one. I very rarely wish anybody a happy birthday online. Because I figure if I know the person, I will see them. Or I will make it a point to call them on the phone and say happy birthday. Even though I don't see them, I will make the point to do it if I have their phone number. I never wish people a happy birthday online. And the only time I'll do it is if I'm sure I'm also going to see them.
Yeah, I wish people happy birthday online. Because, I mean, a lot of people I wouldn't normally talk to. And really, I don't know when people's birthdays are. But I guess Facebook reminds you when people's birthdays are, so then you can wish them a happy birthday.
Well,
I mean, if I didn't want to wish them a happy birthday, I wouldn't wish them a happy birthday, so...
I'm not sure if the internet has brought us closer together or further apart. I mean, I think it's brought us closer together in that we can connect with people who we live in other states and we would never talk to again, who maybe we went to school with or something like that. But then again, I think it's made us further apart because now we don't stop over at people's houses. We don't call people on the telephone. We don't do those things we used to do. So in a way, we're a little closer. I think we have many more connections to people than we used to, but they're much more impersonal than they ever were before.
Right.
All right. I think we have a call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. I just want you to know, if you do need something, you can count on me.
Why? I appreciate it. And trust me, you know, and it's hard to explain to people, but I really do feel fine. I mean, I feel 100%. I truly would have never known anything was wrong.
I can tell by the way you talk that you feel fine, but if you start doing chemo, then trust me, my friend's sister just went through all that, and she did not feel fine. Of course, she was getting massive doses of chemo, and we all knew it wasn't going to do her any good.
Well, I think, well, you know, if I don't feel well, I probably won't be in. And I have a lot of people who are around me, and I think everything will be fine. And, you know, I think you try to look at the humorous side of things, and you say, hey, you know, this is the way it is. I really still can't believe it happened the way it happened, that I have no symptoms. I still haven't had a symptom.
You know, a lot of people end up with stage four and never knew they had it.
Right. So, you know, I'm lucky in that way, and I've had a meeting already with the oncologist, and everything is very, very positive. I mean, I didn't leave that meeting feeling upset at all. I felt very good. And I think if I was departing, I would feel upset.
They caught it early. That was the same.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any symptoms at all. If I had had a symptom, I think there would have been some worry. And also, I'm on the younger side of the spectrum of it. And also, I don't have any other illnesses. I don't have high blood pressure. I'm not diabetic. I don't have any heart trouble. So that's good. Well, also good because of your immune system being up to par.
Oh, yeah.
So I really, you know... There might be bad days, but there are good days, and I think, you know, I just liken it to, and I know this sounds very minute, but, you know, some days you get a horrible flu, and it lasts a week, and you can't get off the couch. Well, if that happens here, I won't get off the couch for a week. Hopefully after that week, I'll get off the couch.
Been there, done there. I know what that's all about.
That's right. But I certainly appreciate it, and if I do need anything, I will reach out.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See, and I do believe people mean that.
Right. I believe that the majority of people, when they say that, they mean it.
Yeah. And trust me, I am fine. Everything is okay. It's not heavy at all. Not to me.
Yeah.
I've had worse days.
Right.
I've had worse days here. Now, coming in some days here, and you get a guest over there who doesn't want to talk, and you say, hey, it's a talk show. Now, those are bad days.
You probably think that about me.
No, but those are the days. Ooh. You think, boy, I wish I wasn't here anymore. I've had those days. Oh, and you know what? Honestly, there are a lot worse. There are people going through much worse things than me. Really. I mean, I am in zero discomfort. I'm not on any medication, pain or otherwise. So, trust me, I'm fine. If I was in pain, I would tell you. I'm a complainer. I would tell you I was in pain.
Well, I mean, I know you have a lot of support, and people love you. So.
But it's not, to me, sad. It's okay. And I don't know. I just, here's the problem. There are people out there who I know are very, very sick. And they, and it's so sad. You know, you can have amputations and this is not a very happy show tonight. But people have amputations and people have disease. I mean, people, it's, the things people face all their life is horrible. And I'm, that's just not me. You know, I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, I think you feel, a lot of times you feel better than I do.
Well, I'm fine.
And, again,
and I would tell you if I wasn't.
I don't know if anything's wrong with me, but, I mean, I probably have lots of things wrong with me, but who knows?
Well, my question is, does anybody believe, I guess this is all about sincerity, is really what we're talking about. Nothing to do with me. It just kind of was the jumping off story. But do you think people are sincere in general? My least favorite thing is insincerity. I hate that when people come up to you and they, just in general, oh, it's so good to see you. Oh, my goodness, da-da-da. Oh, you look so good. Have you lost weight? And they don't mean that. They're just, it's insincerity. It's they don't want to be rude, but they're being overly sincere. Like, oh, I love your show. And I've heard them say they can't stand their show. You know, that's insincere. I don't know. You don't have to be insincere. You can just say, oh, good to see you. You don't have to go over and above.
Right. I guess some people do, but, I mean, I'm not the type of person to do that.
No. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I think it's an interesting topic because I believe a lot of people are, unfortunately, insincere. And I don't even know if they are trying to be. I think they're trying to be nice. I think in their own mind they think, well, I'm just being nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most people are sincere when they say stuff like that. I mean, you might every once in a while come across somebody who isn't, who's just saying it to say it.
Well, how about this story today? You want to talk about sincere or insincere about, boy, this Intel plant coming in. I mean, that really got people riled up the last hour today. I think we only took two entries into the prize giveaway. That really got people bent out of shape talking about that Intel factory.
So, I don't know anything about that. I think I missed a lot of that talk today, but I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, so I have no idea.
Well, it's as simple as could be. It's just an Intel plant is supposed to be building here in Ohio, and the question came up of what did the governor give them tax abatement wise to bring that factory here, and he would not answer the question. So the question then became, is this a political thing? Is that why he's not answering the question? And a lot of people had strong feelings on that today. We had a lot of people who said it was smart of him to do that and very politically savvy. And then a lot of people said, what difference does it make if they don't pay any taxes? And then somebody called in and said the deal wasn't a done deal anyway. It was, they haven't even bought the land yet.
Yeah, I can't give you much opinion on that because I don't know anything about that.
Well, no, I mean, I guess the question just is that, you know, people have very strong feelings when it comes to politics. And I understand that. I understand their very strong feelings, but it did not used to be that way. People were much more interested in things like Hollywood and books and art and your belief system. Now it's politics. Everything is politics. Politics, politics, politics. I've never put a political sign in my yard, period. And to be honest with you, even if I wasn't on the radio or broadcasting, I still wouldn't. Because it just doesn't, it's not my life. I'm not a politically motivated person. Now, to be on the radio, you've got to stay aware of things. And yes, you are going to talk politics sometimes. But to talk it outside of work and to watch news channels all the time, and I don't do that. That's too much.
Well, I can tell you, I definitely don't pay attention to the politics. I'm not interested in that stuff at all.
And the sad thing to me is the world we live in now, that people can get such misinformation. I mean, I really don't. And then they repeat it, and then it becomes trouble. Because once you start repeating something that's not true, I just don't know how people do that. If I don't know something's true, I always say, I heard, or somebody told me, or I'll even preface it by saying, I don't know if this is true, but some people, oh, of course, well, and it's absolutely not true what they're saying.
Yeah, which you've seen a lot of that with the pandemic.
I just don't get it. I don't understand what that is that motivates people to be so sure of everything they read. I don't know, that's a weird thing to me, that I could write anything on the internet and people will believe it.
Would, years ago, this was a long time ago, but I remember getting ready for the Popcorn Festival one year. My dad was like, oh, did you see Betty White died? And I was like, Dad, no, Betty White didn't die. I mean, this was years ago. He's like, oh, I read it online. I'm like, no, Dad, that is fake news. She didn't die.
You know, I was always surprised. Your dad did believe everything on the internet.
He did, but I think he came from that generation where you trusted people. I mean, just like when he would go to, say, the car dealership, or, you know, he believed what they said. You know, I think one time he ended up getting these really expensive tires on his car because I think they conned him. You know, because I think he believed what they would say. But I think that his generation, you trusted people that you dealt with like that, like at the car dealership. I don't know. He was always probably more trusting than he probably should have been.
Well, the one that blew my mind was during, because you do see a lot of this during political elections, and he said this on the air, and I remember we actually had to have the conversation. It was after one of the debates between Hillary and Trump, and Charlie came in and said, did you see where Hillary Clinton's leg was, her pant leg was all bunched up? Did you know she had a colostomy bag under there? And I said, what?
I remember when that went online.
Yeah. And I said, no, Charlie, I said, that's a fake story.
Right.
He was convinced.
Yeah, he did. He did believe everything, almost everything he read online. And, you know, we did have to tell him that's not true. You cannot believe everything you read online. I mean, I can only imagine all the stuff he would have read over the pandemic, over everything. Who knows? I really don't know. But, I mean, I just think it's his generation where you trusted people that... You trusted the things that you read. You trusted the people that you dealt with.
Well, that's a sad part of that, is the people who are knowingly putting out false information are taking advantage of trusting people. And if that's not enough reason to dislike it, I don't know what would be. You know, it's so easy to believe something you want to be true. That's one of the faults of our society. If you believe something and then you read that, oh, that's the way it is, well, then that becomes your fact. Even though you don't know that that's a fact, that becomes your fact to back it up. And that's a little frightening. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Everybody seems to want to be so reaffirmed in what they believe, that they'll believe anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here is a trivia question, by the way. I don't have anything to give you, but I thought this was fascinating. Does anybody know anything about the Eiffel Tower? Because here's my question about the Eiffel Tower in Paris. Do you know what saved the Eiffel Tower? First of all, the Eiffel Tower was only supposed to be up, I think, for 20 years. The deal they made was to put the Eiffel Tower up for 20 years. It was just supposed to be, I believe it was just supposed to be kind of like a sculpture, and they were going to tear it down. But do you know why they never tore down the Eiffel Tower? Do you know why, what saved it? I did not know this until I was watching a show today on the Eiffel Tower. I thought I had no idea about this. I would never have believed this, but I fact-checked it after I saw it. Does anybody know what saved the Eiffel Tower from being torn down after the 20-year period when it was supposed to be torn down? Why it's still up? 740-383-9944. Who are the smart people out there who know why the Eiffel Tower still stands? Why did they not tear it down when they were supposed to? There is a reason that they kept it up. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. 39 and a half minutes past the hour.
I would have no idea.
It's an interesting reason. It's something I would never have guessed as to why they would keep it up. It would have never popped into my brain if I had not seen this show today.
I mean, I don't even know what the purpose of the Eiffel Tower is, because I guess I don't know.
It's just very artsy. I was trying to think if we have anything like that in America. I mean, I guess we have Mount Rushmore. That's probably the closest thing we have to the Eiffel Tower that people go and visit. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, didn't they use it as a like a radio antenna? They put a radio antenna on top of it because of the war, I think.
Yeah, isn't that amazing that they were going to tear down the Eiffel Tower, and then they started putting antennas on it, and now it currently, if you go to the Eiffel Tower, houses 100 antennas from television stations and amateurs and radio stations, that the Eiffel Tower is essentially a good conductor of radio and television current. Isn't that nuts that that's why they kept it?
Yeah, you want to know what else is nuts?
What's that?
I was listening to Charlie and George Kasotis today, and they were talking about that very same thing.
Really?
Yep.
They were talking about the radio and the Eiffel Tower?
Yep.
Now, what are the odds of that?
About probably 1,000,000 to 1.
1,000,000 to 1, because there were about 3,000 hours of Charlie in there for that one to come up today. Boy, that's eerie, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Hey, yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Boy, that is weird.
Very weird.
But that is true. That it's used as a place to put antennas.
Well, that's not surprising.
But that's why they kept it up. When it was first put up, it was put up for this artsy reason and supposed to be torn down in 20 years. But then they started putting these antennas on it. And then they decided, well, that's a great place to put antennas, and it's a great conductor for radio and television waves. So they left it up.
Would you ever want to go there over there and see the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah. I mean, I think those things are interesting, but I'm not the big person to do something just to say I did it. You know, some people just, well, I've been to the Eiffel Tower. Okay. That wouldn't interest me. I would like to go just to see what the atmosphere is like there. You know, how many people do go to visit it? What's it like around it? What's it look like in person? You know, a lot of things like that look much smaller in person than they do when you see them on television or something.
Yeah, I think it would be neat to visit. I mean, I would like to travel. I think it would be neat just to see places. So, if I win the lottery, I won't be around here. I'll be traveling.
I think the Eiffel Tower would be interesting. I think Big Ben would be interesting in England. I think that would be fascinating.
What is that? A clock?
Big clock. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'm with you. You know, when people say stuff like it's glad, good to see you, or, you know, if you need anything, you know, let me know. You know, it's just a phrase that they're using. They don't mean it.
No, and again, I don't think they're doing it on purpose. I just think they're trying to be nice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was up without electricity for 2.5 years, and across the street talking to her, you know, and she told me, you know, if I need anything, let her know. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I might do that. Well, I need the batteries for the radio, you know, and I didn't have no money. And I asked her, you know, if she'd pick me up with a pack of batteries, and she was at the store. And boy, just her attitude and her look when I asked her to pick me up a pack of batteries. And I wish I hadn't even asked her.
Well, and you see, that is most people, unfortunately. I think it's just a term of, I don't know.
Another one that I get tired of hearing is every time somebody dies, oh, he would give you the shirt off his back.
Oh, that's true.
You know.
Well, there's a lot of people who died who I don't know that were all that great in life. I'm sure they were great to somebody, but I didn't necessarily have the best relationship with them. That's always interesting to me as well, is that dying all of a sudden makes the person great, that you can't say anything bad about somebody after they've died. Moms Mabel used to have a joke about that I thought was funny. She used to say, they always say you're not supposed to say anything bad about somebody after they're dead. So I always say, they died. Good.
Well, here's a good example is Michael Jackson. You know, there was all kind of accusations about him and those children, you know, they're Never Never Land and stuff for years. And then when he died, it's like nobody remembers that.
Well, that's tough because when somebody does a bad act, I'm not sure that it cancels out all the good in their life. And I do think that's hard. I think Bill Cosby obviously has that problem. I think...
I'm not saying he didn't do any good, but, you know, just as soon as somebody dies, you know, then, you know, it's like you got a pass on it.
Well, yeah, I don't think you should be given a pass. I think it should be part of the story, but I think it... You know what's interesting? We will do that with people who live or who are dying in the 20th century, 21st century. But for people in ancient history, we don't want to do that.
Like Christopher Columbus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? And you got to look back in history. There's a lot of things that people did back then that was the norm. You know, there's things we do today that's the norm that might not be the norm later. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's right. But, you know, I am just surprised that people have such a problem with people in history that they never knew. You know, a Bill Cosby, now nobody would ever say today, well, just forget all the bad that's happened with Bill Cosby and we're only going to concentrate on his good. Now, maybe that's because he lives in the current time. I don't know. But if we look at Thomas Jefferson, who nobody alive today ever knew him, if we point out his faults that we have learned since, people don't want to do that. People, no, why are we bringing up this old stuff? Why are we going
well,
back
to... some people do. Some people want to, you know, if somebody ever owned a slave, you know, years ago, or if they ever used the N-word, or they ever, you know, did anything, you know, bad at all, you know, they want to take down the statues and everything else. I mean, I see it to a point, but it can just go too far, too.
I think it's a case-by-case. You know, what I used to hear all the time that I didn't like was when they were taking down the Confederate statues, that people kept using the, well, they're going to go after Thomas Jefferson and George Washington next. Well, there is a difference. You know, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, first of all, were presidents. Number two, they helped shape the country, and they were a part of the group that, George Washington was the general of the Revolutionary Army, and Thomas Jefferson was part of the Continental Congress. They had good parts, so their life is just not we owned a slave or we fought for slavery. They did have good parts. So it's okay to have them on the money. It's okay to leave their statues up. Nobody's going to take them down. They're important heroes. The problem with the Confederate people, the Confederacy was here, and even it's not even just about slavery. They wanted to dismantle the United States of America. They wanted there to be a Confederacy. They didn't, you know, it's funny to me because there was so much made about flags, you know, kneeling for the flag and all that. Well, the Confederate Army did away with old, grand old flag, and they burned it during the war. But yet people want to keep the Confederate flag.
Right.
The Confederate flag was supposed to be the replacement for the American flag.
But the Civil War wasn't all because of, you know, Lincoln's stance on slavery.
No, but...
You know, that was a part of it, but that wasn't all.
No, a big part, but to me it's more about the South wanting to secede. I mean, why would you want to honor somebody who was trying to destroy the country?
Right, well...
Washington and Lincoln and Jefferson were not trying to destroy the country.
I just... You know, like our past president, you know, what happened on January 6th and stuff. I mean, I don't know how or why everybody, especially the Republicans, want to give the man a pass. Let's say we elect him again. Do you think after those 4 years he's going to leave? He's going to want to leave? He's going to try to change any law or... Just so he can stay, I just don't see it.
Well, you know, time will tell. That's another thing happening in real time. So I try, you know, with things happening in real time, I think we just have to see.
Yeah, wait and see. But, you know, your cancer. Did they tell you what type it was and what stage it was and stuff like that?
I have a pretty good idea, yeah. Yeah, I just figured, to be honest with you, I hate the idea of even bringing it up on Wednesday. I only did that because I knew I was going to be absent some days, and I just wanted everybody to know why. But I can tell people, it's fine.
You're known too much not to bell, you know.
Well, I figured if somebody saw me going into the hospital...
Talk about it or something, but, you know, cancer's not a death sentence these days.
No. I don't plan on leaving.
But Bob Nunley, you know, didn't you say he was a 2-time, you know, survivor of cancer, and he's...
Yeah, I believe so.
So, cancer's not, you know, the bad cancer is pancreatic cancer and stuff, and certain cancers like that, you know, are really bad because by the time you catch it, you know, it's... too late.
Well, I just did not want anybody to ever see me going into the hospital or something for something and say, oh, you know, he's going in there for a facelift or something. You know, I don't need that kind of press.
Right.
I don't want to end up in the tabloids. But no, it's fine, and it really, I'm perfectly fine. I think everybody would vouch for that. And, you know, you just, I think anybody with anything going on, period, just listen to your doctors, do what they say, and I think you'll come out on the other end better for it. And that's fine.
And I wouldn't be afraid to get a second opinion, too.
No, if you want to get...
down to, you know, a major surgery or... You know, something major, you know.
Yeah. And at this point, I don't know that I'm having any surgery, so that's good news, too.
Right.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 52 minutes past the hour.
Well?
That statue thing was a big story for a long time.
Which one?
Well, when they were taking down the statues and...
Did they ever say what was in the time capsule of that one statue they took down? Was that Robert Lee or something?
You know, I don't know. I don't... Was there a time capsule in Robert E. Lee?
Was that the last one they just took down? Wasn't there two time capsules in one of them that they just took down?
It could be.
Recently. There was two time capsules in the one statue.
I don't know.
Why was I think was that the Robert E. Lee, the last one they took down? the last
It could be. I just remember when all that was going on, we were having things like Charlottesville, and that girl got killed, and there were riots, and it was just...
No, this was just last month.
No, I don't know. See, that's how little I watch the news. I didn't catch that.
Oh. Well, I changed my, I got out of my Dish contract, and I'm going with Spectrum to try to save some money, and so I can finally watch my Channel 10, and I get my HLN back, so I can watch Headline News and Forensic Files, your favorite.
Well, see, that I tried to do my Forensic Files here today with the old contracts from the 1940s and so on, but I guess people did not like that by and large.
Well, you know, I guess it just depends.
It does. Go ahead, caller.
How you doing, Bob?
Good. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah. This morning, when you're talking to that lady, talking about 7-Eleven, have you heard any more Cinnabon card?
No.
It's really coming or not?
Well, my understanding is the merger, or I guess the takeover, has happened, but the signage has not been changed, so I don't really know what's going on beyond that at this point.
Yeah, well... I think they do come in looking for a sticker truck.
Well, I tell you what, I'll keep you updated as I hear anything.
Yeah, there's different parts of the country that I had lived in, different cities and whatever. I tell you, the price is all varying. Well, it might be higher in one place and lower in another place.
Well, let's pray we're in the lower end, Bob.
Yeah, well, we'll see if they come in and see what it's going to be like.
That's right. Thanks, Bob.
Yep.
All right, 740-383-9944. Also, if you have any, I like news stories like that. I like talking about Del Taco earlier. Did you see their menu?
No.
Oh, take a look.
I heard you mention they had hamburgers.
They do hamburgers, shakes, the whole bit. Go ahead, caller.
You know, what I kind of noticed this morning, Scott, was the men seemed to be interested in it.
But yeah, we
are. Right. Be much interested in it.
Yeah, well, to me, like I said, it really wasn't even the radio idea behind it, although that did help. What was fascinating to me is that right here in Little Marion, Ohio, there was this little drama going on, and the Madge Cooper story to me was really more important than even the Bob Mason.
That's amazing with her, you know, winning that award.
Yeah, it is. It really is sad to me, knowing the woman as I did, that people. Just because she started in 1941, January of 41, and she stopped full-time broadcasting in 76. Now, she continued on the air. She did, you know, like history programs and stuff like that, but she stopped full-time in 76. So she did 35 years on the air, but... And she continued, I think she in total was on 52, but, you know, in the 80s and 90s, she was just doing maybe one day a week, you know, because she was quite up in age at that point. Although she was in very good health. Madge was really fine till she was 97. She drove till she was 95. But it's sad to me that the people who lived in her time are now starting to go, because they don't remember how big a deal she was, and she was. And I always say the best two broadcasters in Marion history, and I've worked with them all. I really, luckily, got a chance to work with them all. The best two were Madge and Charlie, and the best newsman was Joe Ione, and Bob Bender wasn't far behind. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
They were the best. Madge mastered how to do news. She could interview people. She was smart. She got outside the box. She could go to New York and play with the big boys. And Charlie mastered conversation and how to do things that appealed to lower economic people. And I think they were both very good. And it's no surprise that Charlie started out as Madge's engineer. I don't think that's just a coincidence.
And Charlie used the radio waves to do a lot of good.
Well, I think if you listen to the Madge Cooper documentary here on the station, I think Charlie says that what fortified him in radio was listening to Madge all those years. As her engineer, being in the room with her.
Right, which they don't have engineers today, do they?
No, well, occasionally we still have one, but no, Madge was sharp as I wrote a book on her that I have a few of those left, but really tried to get even more detail than the radio documentary. Maybe we'll make those available again if somebody would like a copy. They're not big books, but I wanted her legacy to be preserved because she was a very, very big deal outside of Marion, but she never left Marion. She never left WMRN. She was always there. And, I mean, I just think that telegram this morning that in 1967, out of 250 people all over the world, with Joan Crawford as the hostess and the mayor of New York at the Pierre Hotel handing out the awards, one of the first six went to Madge Cooper, and she was from Marion, and she was the only person on radio. If that doesn't tell you how big a deal she was, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, any chance I can talk about Madge, I certainly take the chance
to do
so.
I'd like to see schools. They wouldn't have to, you know, have 12 years of it or anything. They could have one semester or, you know, or half a year or 1 year. But teach a little bit of Marion history. Give people, you know, a reason to be, you know, proud of, you know, Marion County.
Well, the other thing that's sad to me is, you know, we have, I don't know how many radio stations we have now. We have quite a few. But I guarantee you, if you walked up to anybody at these radio stations, you say, who started radio in Marion? They wouldn't have the slightest idea.
Yeah.
That's sad, because
to
me...
They probably didn't even know what year they started either.
No, but it's sad to me that his name is not better remembered, because he just, you know, and I understand he became president, but, you know, we know who started the Marion Star. We should know who started broadcasting in this area, because we're all still here. If he hadn't come, there is the chance we wouldn't be here. There are communities like Mansfield. What's Mansfield's radio station? They don't have radio stations like Marion does. What's Marysville's radio stations? They don't have, Delaware doesn't really even have radio stations like Marion does. And I believe that's because of Bob Mason. Got to give it to him.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, 740-383-9944. What'd you make of that Del Taco menu?
Well, it's a huge menu.
That's what I'm telling you. They're going to have a big traffic jam over there when they open up. That's what I'll do when I'm, you know, out of here for a few days. I'll go over and sit and watch people at Del Taco.
Try to get in and out.
That's right. I'll go sit over at the mausoleum and watch people deal with Del Taco.
Well, I just find
that's where you'll find me.
I find it odd they have burgers, and then they have everything from burgers to beer-battered crispy fish tacos.
Isn't that interesting? No other taco place in Marion has that. Man, we got a break. Weird. Break's already here. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
It's smarter than my tongue. But you know what I wish is? I wish people were, had a lighter touch. Do I regret I said it? Probably so. But...